Just want to take a minute to say thanks so much to Brother Brendan and Brother David the last couple Sundays for to bring us our message as Bill has been with his mom and his family during the time of their loss and his mother's health here at the end of her time. So Brother Brendan and our Brother David the last couple Sundays, thanks so much for stepping in and bringing us the lesson. So Brother Brendan.
Good morning. I truly appreciate this opportunity to do this. This is much different than how when I normally preach. I grew up going to a congregation like many of you did, very small rural congregation. That church building would fit inside here. Generally when I preach, my grandmother and grandpa are sitting there, my mom and dad are sitting here, my wife's here, and I'm related to everybody else that's sitting there in the congregation. So this is a little different, but I do truly appreciate this. Brother Carey told me to keep it to about 5 minutes. So, and the very first time I preached, I remember I borrowed one of my dad's sermon outlines. I told Carey this, and it took about 5 or 10 minutes. And when it was over, Dad said, "You see those kind of blank spots in between?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're supposed to fill in there." So, I think this will be a little more than 5 minutes. But again, I truly appreciate this. There's no PowerPoint, which is a little ironic since I make a living putting a PowerPoint up on a board and talking. But I'd actually had one message. I was really pretty far into it when I changed my mind. I don't think Devin will mind me telling this story. This week, you guys know that Devin hurt his knee. He tore his ACL, and it's been a long recovery back. And he played several games, played Wednesday, played Thursday, played Friday, and we're limiting his minutes and all that. But after Friday, he came in there and he said, "Dad, my knee's really swollen." I looked at it, and it was really swollen. And usually that's not, we said, "We'll put ice on it, it'll be okay." And it always is. It is now. It's always fine. But for whatever reason, that bothered me. That got to me. And I'm not a real emotional guy, but when I am emotional, my wife can see whenever I'm whatever it is. And I was laying there in bed, and she said, "Well, what's wrong?" Because I wasn't hiding that very. I don't know why, but it kind of shook me up. And I told her what it was, and she said, "It'll be all right." And I know it would. And I told her, I just need to trust. I just need to know that it'll be okay. So if you ever want a sermon from 1 Peter about living in this world and that sort of thing, let me know. I've got one of those ready sometime. But what we're going to look at today is the idea of trust. Now first, have you ever done a trust fall? I don't know if this is even a thing anymore. I know back in the 90s it was. I don't remember the reason why. I know I was middle school age, and I don't know what. I can't remember the circumstances surrounding it. But we were there at school. And you have to remember, again, I grew up in a very small community, so everything happened at school. No matter what the social event was, it was going on at the school. That was where everything was. And I remember you'd have to walk out, and you'd have people behind you, and you'd cross your arms like this, and then you'd just fall back into their arms. And you had to trust that they would catch you. And I remember there was a couple kids there, and they'd done it at church camp. And they said, "Oh, it's easy. Here, watch." And they just do it. And so we get there, and I remember it's my turn, and there's some people back there, and I go there, and I cross my arms, and I stand there, and I go to back, and I put my foot back. I can't. And it took a couple times before I could finally do it. And then once I did it the first time, it was easier the second time, but I still didn't like it. It still bothered me. These are my friends and my classmates. Many of them I had known. I don't remember a time when I didn't know these people. But it was hard. Why? It's because I was putting my trust, my faith, my confidence in them that they would catch me. They wouldn't let me fall. I can also remember the first time being a little scary because I saw who the people were that were going to catch me. They weren't people I was quite as close with. They were small. I thought, can they really do this? Can they catch me? And then I remember the second time around, I had some friends that were a little bit, from middle school age, they were a little bigger, stouter, that sort of thing. And one of them I'd known forever, and I knew they'd catch me. It was still hard, but I knew they'd catch me. Because, again, I knew them better. I was closer to them. They were bigger. They were stronger. So I knew it would be okay. Keep that in mind as we talk about this. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8, says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water, that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." Trust is certainty. Trust is assurance. It's conviction. It's reliance. It's confidence. It's faith. We can substitute any of those words in that, or all of those words. Blessed is the man who has certainty in the Lord. Blessed is the man who has assurance in the Lord. Blessed is the man who has reliance on the Lord. Any of that. Blessed is the man who has faith in the Lord. To really get the full meaning of it, though, we put that all together, and that's what trust is. In Jeremiah's example, he says the tree will not fear when the heat comes. We understand it's an example. Trees don't fear, I don't think. But he says it won't fear when the heat comes, or be anxious in time of drought, or stop bearing fruit. Why? Because there's a constant water source. There's no anxiety, there's no fear, because the water is always there. And of course, we understand what he means with this. When we don't fear, we don't become anxious, we don't stop working in times of trouble, because we have a God that's always there for us. He's constant. He's that constant source of love and mercy and strength that we need, and so we can trust in him. You know, Jesus addressed this in his Sermon on the Mount. If you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 6. We'll read verses 25 through 34, and then 7 verses 7 through 11. So again, Matthew chapter 6, we'll start with verses 25 through 34. Jesus said, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now chapter 7, let's go down, we'll read verses 7 through 11. "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" I know I look to these verses a lot in my life. And when we read this, to condense it, paraphrase, Jesus says, trust God. He says, trust our Father. He loves us. He knows what we need. And he'll care for us. This concept's simple, and we understand it. We know that God will care for us. We know that God loves us. We know that God is there for us. He knows what we need. He'll provide for us. But it still can be hard sometimes. We know that. When tough things happen in life, maybe health problems, maybe money problems, maybe relationship problems, whatever it is, all these things come up. Sometimes it's hard to see what's best. Sometimes it may feel like that stream that's next to Jeremiah's tree is starting to dry up. Well, God is constant. God is there. We can look back to this and know that he cares for us. We know that he's there. If you would turn over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we'll start in verse 3. Hebrew writer says, Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are also in the body. Now jump down to verse 5, about halfway through. For he himself, God, has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the results of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. When hard times come, we can trust that the Lord will always be there for whatever we need. You know, in this instance, he's talking about prisoners and those who are being ill-treated. I realize living in this country, we don't have to personally worry about that. We have brethren around the world that do, but we don't have to worry about that. But still, just the idea that in the first century, we know these people are going through hard times too. They're going through troubles. They're going through trials. And the Hebrew writer says, look, when this is going on, remember, God said, I will never desert you. I won't forsake you. And we can take just such comfort in the fact he says, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. He says, what will man do to me? What can happen that we can't go to God for? What can happen that God won't be there for us? We don't have to be afraid because we can trust. I won't read these, but in Matthew 18 and Mark 10, the idea of faith like a child. I realize that involves humility and more than that. But children trust their parents that things are going to be okay. I know when I was growing up, I didn't worry about being safe when I was at home or when I was with my parents. I didn't worry about whether I was going to have food to eat or if I was going to have clothes. I just trusted that my parents would take care of me. And as I got a little bit older, even when, and we went through a few tough times and things like that, I still trusted that they would take care of me, that everything would be all right. And we have that same trust. When the Hebrew writer said to remember the faith of these fellow Christians, he said those who led you, and consider its results. Consider the faith and trust that our fellow brethren, that they have for God. And we can follow their examples too in the tough times. We can see that happening in others. I know all of us can think of multiple times in our lives when we've seen fellow Christians that have gone through hard times, and they've just, it was a struggle probably, but they got through, and we see them get through. And we know they can do it. And how do they do it? They do it, you ask people, they get through it through their faith. And so, if we're feeling our trust wavering, if we're struggling a little bit, our faith is wavering a little, we go to them. We're part of a family. And this family can help us with our trust. That's why there in Hebrews 13, he said in verse love, let the love of the brethren continue, that love of the family. And again, in verse 3, when he says, remember the prisoners, not only that they're going through these hard, but remember them, they're part of your family. And so if their trust is wavering, cater to them, help them, be there for them. And also, I think this provides me with so much comfort to know this. Consider the trust that we can have in our Savior who does not change. He's this constant in our life, like we talked about with that water by Jeremiah's tree. He is a constant. Think about this. Why do we feel so safe and so at ease when we're at home? We know where things are. We know what to expect. It's familiar. It's constant. Think about when a storm happens or something's going, where do you want to be? You want to be at home. When bad things happen, a lot of times, where do you want to be? You want to be at home. Why? Because you feel safe there. And why do you feel safe there? Because it's home, and it's always the same. And well, our Lord is like that. You know, in James 1:17, he's described, our Lord is described as having no variation or shifting shadow. We know where he is. We know who he is. We know what to expect. We can feel safe and at ease with him because we trust him, and he's that helper that will never leave us. He'll always be there for us. And so we know in this life, we can have this trust. We know that God will always be there for us. He will always provide for us. He'll provide that strength that we need. And then most importantly, though, in the next life, the most important thing we can trust God with is our eternal soul. It is important, as we just talked about, that we have this faith that helps us get through whatever it is in life. You know, through the good times, through the hard times, whatever it is, we can trust in God to be there for us. But the most important thing to understand is the most precious aspect of our being, our internal soul, we've entrusted it to Him, and we know that it'll be fine. We know that it'll be safe. John, let's look over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Jesus told his disciples, we realize they didn't understand exactly what's going on. Thomas even points that out here in a minute. But Jesus told his disciples, not be afraid, but to trust God, and to trust Him. There's a place in heaven waiting for them. That's an amazing thing if we think about it. There's a place in heaven waiting for us. We can trust that it's there, and we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to sit here and, what's going to happen? We know that it's there, and we can trust. Jesus said, it's there. I told you. If it wasn't, I'd told you. He said, it's there. You can trust me. You can trust the Father. And He's prepared the way for us to reach our place in heaven. And again, we know He did that through His death and resurrection. And He told us the way to get there. So, it's there. He prepared the way for us to get there. And then He told us how to get there. That's all been taken care of for us, so we can trust that it's there. It's like, I know nobody uses a regular map anymore, and so whenever I pull up my Google Maps and I put it on my phone, and it tells me this is how to get here, I trust that that's how I get there. That the road's there, that it's fine, I'm not going to have to let go, and that it'll be there when I get there. Well, same thing here. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father but through me. And we know that He is that. And the amazing thing about this too, absolutely amazing thing, is that we cannot be taken from Him. Again, our eternal soul that God has, that whenever we become a follower of Him, we can trust that it is safe. Look at John 10, verses 27 through 29. Again, John 10, 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. He says, I and the Father are one. We can't be taken away. I used this example not too long ago up at Johnstown when I was preaching. When Brian and Devin were little, we'd play with Steph, and I'd have like something in my hand, and they'd want it. I'd squeeze my hand, and they'd try to open it, and they couldn't do it. Now they'd rip it right out, but they couldn't do it then. They couldn't because they were younger, and they just couldn't. And that's how what I think of with our Father, that He has our soul. He has our eternal being. It's right there in His hand. And no matter what, Satan, cares of the world, whatever it is, can't rip His fingers open, can't take that out. Now, we know we can push it open at any time if we don't want to be there. But when God's in, we can trust that we're there and that we're safe and it can't be taken from Him. Now, in the introduction, I told you there are certain people I trusted more than others when doing a trust fall. And again, it was because I either had a closer relationship with them, because, again, I knew they'd take care of me, or simply their size. They were strong enough to do the job. They could catch me. And so that allowed me to have a greater trust and a greater faith in them. Well, who cares for us more than our Heavenly Father? Who's more powerful What's more powerful than our Heavenly Father? Whatever this situation and whatever the situation in life, we can trust that He'll always be there for us. That He'll never leave us, that He'll never forsake us, that He'll always be that helper. We know that He's faithful. We know that He's unchanging, and that we can trust Him with our eternal life. We'll conclude with this. If your trust has wavered, and if you're struggling, God's there. If you need the prayers of the church, we're here for you. If you've not yet put your trust in the Lord, you've not been baptized and made a part of His kingdom, we offer you the opportunity to do that if you'd like to come to the front as we stand and as we sing.